This is New York, the United States of America. Again, we present the Radio Forum, our weekly informal discussion program with the people who make the news here in the United States. Today's forum will delve into electronics of the future. Chairman of the discussion is Ben Wilbur. Mr. Wilbur.
If you had been anywhere in the vicinity of Grand Central Palace or the Commodore Hotel in New York this week, you might have felt as though you had wandered into the world of the future. Not only conversations, but addresses, and an exhibit of the modern application of the science of electronics, gave visitors some conception of what has been happening in the world of radio and electronics. The event was the 36th annual meeting of the Institute of Radio Engineers, held in the Commodore Hotel with an exhibition in Grand Central Palace. By midweek, some 15,000 persons were registered for the meetings, among them the most notable personalities in the fields of radio, electronics, and radionics. And here, if anywhere, one would have found a great interchange of nations, traditional since the days 2 centuries ago when Benjamin Franklin instituted a system of correspondence with all the men in other nations who were, as he was, interested in discovering something about electricity. Both technical and theoretical information, as well as the practical application of today's knowledge, made the Institute of Radio Engineers this week absorbing even to an outsider. And we're going to learn more about the world of today as well as the world of the future from our two guests today. They are Dr. Norbert Wiener, professor of mathematics of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and Dr. B.E. Shackelford of RCA International Division. Dr. Shackelford is the new president of the Institute of Radio Engineers. I'm going to ask him first if he'll tell us what the organization is. Just what is the Institute, Dr. Shackelford?
Mr. Wilbur, the Institute of Radio Engineers was founded in 1912 by a group of men interested in problems of transmission and reception of code signals through space.
That was the original definition of the organization,
that
right?
That was the original field as defined by those members. Now, although those members who founded the organization are alive and working with us and active in the Institute today, the scope of the problems and interests of the Institute have materially enlarged. Since the founding of the Institute, such subject matter as electron or vacuum tubes as used in radio and other fields, television, frequency modulation, and other forms of sound broadcasting, a point-to-point communication by means of very involved mechanisms, have come well within our scope. Today, the applications of these instrumentalities and methods are being used in many other related fields.
Well, tell us, Dr. Wiener, where do you fit into this picture as a professor of mathematics?
Well, I have been at MIT since the end of the last war, 1919. When I came there, naturally, some of the mathematical problems I was interested in took a coloring from the nature of the school at which I was working. In addition, that was a time at which there was a great deal of interest in the mathematical justification of the very important work of Heaviside, Oliver Heaviside, in communication engineering, and people in the electrical engineering department turned to me for that. On my own, I was very much interested in the problem of random motion, which years afterwards gave me a good preparation to go into the work on noise in electric circuits.
Well, now, as Dr. Shackelford said, as the work of the Institute and as the work of radio itself has expanded, it has touched other fields as well, as it has touched your field of mathematics.
Yes.
Just how has it crossed boundaries in the sciences, Dr. Wiener?
Well, I should say that the purpose of the Institute of Radio Engineers is primarily to handle those fields related to communication. Now, communication can be done by electric circuits, but it is done within the human nervous system by nerves. That is, it was impossible that communication engineering and neurology, for example, should remain unconnected for a long time. Then, similarly, a branch of engineering which was originally associated with power engineering was what we call servo mechanism theory, the theory of control apparatus. And it has turned out that uses the same mathematical techniques as communication engineering in the strictest sense.
Now, this is developing a parallel that's new to us. Dr. Shackelford, what would you say would be the future of communications engineering as applied to the other sciences? Have you men in the Institute who are specializing not only in radio and communications, but in other fields as well?
We have many men in the Institute specializing in other fields than communication. The instrument used in radio and the tools used there are of common interest and use in many other sciences and in other industries. For instance, in medical and applied medical sciences, the study of biology, not only do we have the crossovers mentioned by Professor Wiener, but we have the crossover of tools and methods which we can use in our researches.
Is education following along in this development, Dr. Wiener?
It is beginning to, and it will have to. It is impossible for a man with a conventional electrical engineering training, even of 10 years ago, to do adequate work in communication engineering as it stands at the present. Certain fields, which have been considered of use only to the theorist and even to the philosopher, such as mathematical logic, are turning out to be essential tools for the working communication engineer.
Well, now, Dr. Shackelford, what, in your estimation, is the future of all this? What are we striving for? Where are we going?
We, of course, do not know the complete answer to such a question. But we can try to look in the crystal ball and see a few of the things. For instance, the instrumentalities developed in the study of television over the years have found application in many fields. For instance, the idea of scanning, which is one of the fundamental portions of the television process, is applicable to many other sciences and many other developments. Another instance in connection with television, the television principles, together with the principles of facsimile, are enabling us today to prepare to place very rapid transmission of messages from one spot to another on the world's surface, a whole newspaper page in a second or so.
Well, now these things are how far away?
Some of them, of course, we can see are very close. Others, we have not gone far enough to know whether those specific developments will ever materialize. But of this we can be sure, because of past history, that whether a particular line of attack reaches the particular goal for which you are aiming, that it will develop other goals which will be reached that will be as important or more important than the original one at which we aimed.
And this crossing over from one science to another will be carried through in our everyday life. In crossing over the boundaries as radio waves now cross, political boundaries and natural boundaries, they will cross others, right?
That is true.
Well, Dr. Wiener, what about the future? There are problems, aren't there?
Communication engineering is coming to a focus in the problem of the automaton. Communication engineering is now making it possible, with our knowledge of the nervous system, for us to imitate the nervous system to a surprising degree. This is bringing new possibilities and new problems. Just as the Industrial Revolution of the past depended on the steam engine, was a revolution concerning energy, and ended in the devaluation of what the human hand can do in the way of gross, crude work. So now, the development of communication engineering is enabling us to do the same sort of a thing to all but the higher decisions of the human brain.
The manual labor at the introduction of the steam engine had no market for what he had to offer. And you say that the same thing will happen how?
The
introduction
of the factory without employees. The chemical plant, where instead of people reading the gauges and working the apparatus by reading the gauges, all the decisions of the apparatus are built in advance and are worked by the gauges themselves. The assembly line without employees. There's a great possibility for the release of human energies and activities in the future, if the thing is done right. But if it is done stupidly, with a dependence on the past that is slavish, nothing but slavery can result.
Well, now, what will the effect be? What do you feel that will be affected by this new revolution? What branches of science and of human living?
All branches of human living and most branches of science. Whether we get good or evil out of this depends on whether we are prepared to think the problem out, or whether, on the other hand, we simply depend on conventional answers and are more stupid than our own productions.
But it will happen.
It will happen, and to some extent it has happened.
Well, could you tell us more about your own work?
My
What's
own
it
work
called? Cybernetics?
I've called it cybernetics from the Greek word for steersman, because I do not want to contrast the control and communication problems in the living organism and in the machine. In my own work, I have found that the machine has been a guide to me in the study of the nervous system, and the nervous system in the study of the machine.
That is your work, the analogy between the two?
A large part of my work at present. It is not my whole work, but as far as concerns my presence at this meeting, it is my work.
And you've developed it where?
I'm developing it in a book which is published in France, will be soon, by Hermann et Compagnie, and probably will be published here too. I cannot yet state by which publisher.
You find then that the interest in these things are international?
All science has either an international interest or no interest at all. There is no such thing as a reputation or an interest which stops at national boundaries.
And what we're talking about is something that also crosses national boundaries, and boundaries, for that matter, of time.
To the full. I have found in my trip in Europe this summer the same interest and the same problems that I have found here.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Did you have a word, Dr. Shackelford?
In following up the thought just expressed by Dr. Wiener, I would like to call to your attention that the Institute of Radio Engineers is not a national body. Although its headquarters is located in New York, it has members in many countries of the world and is a truly international group.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
And so we come to the end of this week's Radio Forum, our weekly informal discussion program on the major affairs of the day with the people who make the news here in the United States. Participants in today's forum, which delved into electronics of the future, were Dr. Norbert Wiener, professor of mathematics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and Mr. B.E. Shackelford of the Radio Corporation of America and the new president of the Institute of Radio Engineers. Chairman of the discussion was Ben Wilber. We invite you to be with us every week at this time for the Radio Forum. Today's program originated in New York City. This program came to you from the United States of America.